A long time ago, in Aleppo, Syria. Syria is a country near Eretz Israel. In this city of Aleppo lived a very wealthy Yid, a very wealthy Jew, and his name was Signor Di Fejuto. And he was in charge of the bank, and he was in charge of trade, like buying and selling things. And one of the things that he did was to lend money to people for business. A person needs $1,000 to go and do some business, so they can borrow it from the bank, or even at night, they would come to his house. They didn't have time during the day to go to the bank, and he would give loans even from his house. He would lend the money to Jewish businessmen and even Arab businessmen. He would lend money to. One time, a very, very wealthy Arab businessman came to Signor Di Fejuto, and he wanted to borrow money. And Signor Di Fejuto got nervous when he saw this Arab, because everyone knew that whenever he would borrow money, he would never pay back. This was his reputation. Everybody knew this about him. He borrows money, he'll dray your cup and give you excuses and make all kinds of stories up, and he'll figure out all kinds of tricks and ways never to pay the money back. Even though he was a very rich man, he owned fields and he owned buildings and he owned land. He had businesses. And now he comes to Signor Di Fejuto to borrow 200 golden dollars. And he says, I promise to pay back in 6 months the 200 golden dollars. I need it now for my business. Now, Signor Di Fejuto did not want to lend him the money, but he knows that if he, Chas V'Shalom, will get this Arab upset, this Arab can make trouble for him and all the Jews, because he was a troublemaker. And he was no friend of the Yidden. So Signor Di Fejuto says to the Arab, I'll lend you the 200 golden dollars, but you have to sign a note and you have to find a guarantor. That means a person that, in case he cannot pay back the loan, another person promises to pay back the loan. That's called an arev in Hebrew, a guarantor. They guarantee the loan. So he says, you have to sign the paper and you have to find me a guarantor for your loan. And the Arab laughs, ho, 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 I should find somebody to pay back. If I can't pay back, you know how rich I am? You know how many fields and buildings and businesses I own? I have to go to a person, somebody else, to ask him to pay back if I can. They laugh in my face. I'm richer than anybody around here. I'm probably richer than you. I should go to some other person to sign the note. They laugh like a joke. Forget it. You trust me. I pay back the 200 golden dollars. I don't need nobody to guarantee my loan. And Signor Di Fejuto says to the Arab, no, this is the way I do a loan. You must have somebody to sign as your guarantor to promise to pay back the loan in case you cannot. Or else I cannot give the loan. And the Arab says, oh, I have the perfect one to guarantee. Hashem. This is the way you Jews say the God, right? Hashem. I say that Hashem will make sure you get the money in case I don't pay, if this happened. Akenalach, Signor Di Fejuto now was in a little bit of a pickle. Because if he says no, then it's like a Chas V'Shalom, a little bit of a Chil Hashem, that he doesn't rely, he doesn't trust Hashem to give him back the loan. This is what the Arab would say. The Jew does not accept Hashem to give back the loan. It could Chas V'Shalom look not nicely. It could be a little bit of a Chil Hashem. So Signor Di Fejuto says to the Arab, Signor Di Vegiuto says to the Arab, okay, you sign the note and you write down that Hashem is your guarantor to make sure you pay back the loan. And the Arab writes down this on the note. And now, Signor Di Vegiuto goes to get the 200 golden dollars. And now he says to the Arab, it's a lot of money. I'm sorry, I don't have anything to put it in. I don't have a bag or anything. And the Arab says, don't worry, I have this in my pocket. And he takes out a big red handkerchief, like a big red shmata. And he takes the money and he wraps it up. He makes like a bag around the money and he ties it and he puts it in this red handkerchief. And now he's carrying the money. He leaves the house of Signor Di Vegiuto and he's walking down the road away from the house and he starts to laugh. Ha 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 ha. I thought it would be more difficult to get the money from Signor Di Vegiuto, but I see it was very easy. All I had to do was promise on the note that Hashem is giving back the money in case I don't give back. Ah, this is such a joke. Because this Arab had no intention, no kavana. He did not have in mind at all that he's going to pay back the loan. All he had in his mind is going to get the money, he's going to take it, spend it, and finish, and now make up his tricks and his baba mises and all of his kunsim and all of his things not to pay back the money, like he usually did. And he's laughing, he's walking down the road, and as he's walking down the road towards his house, he looks over and he sees a big field that he owned. He owned this field. It was a big vegetable field. In the field grows vegetables, especially cabbages. And the Arab thinks to himself, oh, this is my field, and there are my workers. Let me go see how they're working, and let me go talk to the boss of the field who works for me to make sure that workers are doing their good work as long as I'm passing by. And he goes over there, and he starts looking at the workers, and starts talking to the boss, and he gets busy looking at different things with the cabbages. And it was a hot day, and the red kerchief of gold and pieces of gold, the 200 golden dollars, was very heavy. And he didn't feel like schlepping it around or walking around with it because it was making him schwitz even more. So he decided he's going to put it down in the field next to a cabbage, next to a big cabbage. And he said to himself, nobody will see it here. So, you know, I'll just hide it over here and I'll go on with my business over here and then I'll take it and go home. And he got so busy with workers and the boss and cabbages and different money things and getting upset at certain workers who were not doing their jobs right, he forgot at the end of the time that he spent there, he forgot all about the money, all about the red handkerchief with the money in it, and he was so hot, all he wanted to do was go home and get a cold drink and take a nap, which is exactly what he did. He went home and he went to sleep and he forgot all about the money and he slept through the whole night. And he woke up in the morning and all of a sudden, oh, what did I do? I forgot the money in the field. Oh, 200 golden dollars in the red kerchief I forgot in the field. And he gets up and he runs out of the house. I don't know if it was with his pajamas or he changed into his clothes. And he runs now down the road. The Arab is running down the road towards the field. He gets to the field. He looks all around. Where is the money? Where is the money? And he starts screaming at the workers, who stole my money? It wasn't there. He looked at all the places that he thought he put it. He looked at the place that he thought he put it next to the cabbage. It wasn't there. He looks all around. He starts screaming, "Who stole the money? Who saw the money? Oh, no, we didn't see nothing. We didn't see nothing in the field, just the cabbages." And he starts screaming and yelling, "Who stole the money?" But he couldn't prove anything, and everybody said they didn't do it, and the boss said he didn't do it. The money was gone. Oh, he got so upset. Finally, he has to go home. And maybe he even brought the police, I don't know. They couldn't find a thing. The money was gone. Now, I tell you what happened in the middle of the night. This is what happened. Shh. When it gets dark outside, different things happen from Hashem. Now, just this is a regular thing. This is a regular thing that happens. If you're ever in the country, you wake up sometimes in the morning, and you go on the grass, and the grass is all wet. And it didn't rain. The plants are all wet. You see drops of like water. And yes, this is dew. This is called dew. In English, it's called dew, D-E-W. In Hebrew, it's called tau. Like we say, marid ha-tau. Okay? The tau, we're saying tau lumatar, we say in Shemone Esrei. Tau is a thing that comes from Hashem, that it's a wet thing, it's not rain, and it's not just regular water, and it's very important for the plants to have this in the grass in order to grow. And it comes at nighttime. Now, some plants actually open up their leaves in order to get this tau, and when the sun comes out in the morning, the leaves close up, and the tau goes inside of the plant to help it to grow. And by the way, all plants need this to grow. The cabbages at night, as you know, cabbages are leaves. Cabbages are a lot of leaves together in a big bali, or a little bali. At nighttime, when the cabbages grow, the leaves open up, and the tau goes and covers the leaves, so it gets the tau. And in the morning, when the sun comes out, the leaves close up into the, it's called a head of cabbage or lettuce. The same thing. The leaves close up and they get tight. Yeah, now this is what happened. Now, during that night, the cabbage opened up its big leaves and they went right next to the bag. The tau went into the leaves, and in the morning when it started to close up, since it's a big cabbage, it pulled the bag into the middle of the cabbage, and as the leaves closed, the bag went inside of the cabbage. And by the time the cabbage was closed up, the bag was completely inside in the middle of the cabbage. And that's exactly what happened that night. Nobody stole it. It was in a cabbage. And the Arab could not find his money. Now, listen to the Ashkacha Pratis. Listen to the ways of Hashem. That morning, that day, the workers go out to pick the cabbages. They have a wagon there. They pick the cabbages and they load them onto the wagon. And one of the cabbages that was picked was this big cabbage with the money inside. Now, the man with the wagon of cabbages takes the wagon to the marketplace. And over there are the vegetable men who sell vegetables, and each one buys cabbages and different vegetables to sell. In other words, from the farm, the cabbages go to the marketplace. Now, this particular man with a wagon used to go to the marketplace and sell the cabbages to the vegetable people, but he always used to stop one place first. There was one vegetable store that sold the best vegetables in the city. And the man who owned that store would pay more money for the best vegetables. And the wealthier people and the more important people that could afford the best vegetables would go to that store. A gourmet vegetable store. And the man with the wagon would always stop there first. And the man who owned the store would come out and pick the best cabbages and pay extra money. And the man that day... The vegetable man of that store that day, he came out to look at the cabbages on the wagon, and he picked The first one, that big cabbage, it was such a big, beautiful cabbage that had the money inside. And he says, aha, such a beautiful cabbage. Oh, I want to take this for my store. It's beautiful. Okay? He took it into the store. And he even had in mind that he had an order for vegetables that he had to deliver that day. And when the order came, they asked for a cabbage. And this vegetable man had in his mind that this cabbage would go for this order. Do you know who made the order that morning for vegetables? You want to know?
The Yid who gave the money to the Arab.
What was his name?
Sada
Signor Di Fejuto. Exactly. Signor Di Fejuto, that day his wife, or somebody in his family, the cook, they had placed an order to the vegetable store, and they said, please give us a beautiful big cabbage. And the vegetable man had in mind, aha, I like to make Signor Di Fejuto very happy with nice vegetables, because they make big orders, because they used to have a lot of orchim in their house. They had, you know, a lot of guests for Shabbos and Yontif, and even during the week, and they used to serve poor people food. They had haknasas orchim, and they ordered a cabbage, and the vegetable man put this cabbage in their order. Now remember, this is the next day after Signor Di Fejuto had lent the money to the Arab. This is the next day. The vegetable store sends the delivery to the house of Signor Di Fejuto, and they knock on the kitchen door, and over there is the cook cooking in the kitchen, and the cook took the order, the boxes of vegetables, and the first thing she took out was this big head of cabbage. Oh, very good. I'm going to make this first into different vegetable things from cabbage. And she starts peeling away the leaves, doing different things with the leaves. And all of a sudden, as she pulls away one of the leaves, she sees this red thing in the middle of the cabbage. Ah! Ah! She screams. She got scared. She never saw a red thing in the middle of the cabbage. Ah! Ah! She goes running out of the kitchen into the dining room, and over there was Signor Di Fejuto. Ah! And he hears the cook screaming, what's wrong? What's wrong? Why are you screaming?
In the cabbage is a thing, a red thing in the cabbage. I never saw such a thing.
He's so scared of a cabbage? I never heard of being scared of a cabbage.
That's a red thing there.
Okay, I'll take a look at it. He goes into the kitchen. Sure enough, he goes over to the cabbage. He pulls away that leaf now, and he sees the red handkerchief. He recognized it. Hey, what is this? He takes it out. Hey, he opens it up. This is the 200 golden pieces that I lent the Arab yesterday. It's in the cabbage, the middle of the cabbage. Did it come back to him the very next day? He took it, he put it into his drawer. And even that day he heard what was going on in the town. There was a search for stolen money from the cabbage patch. The Arab had accused the workers and the boss, and the police were investigating. They couldn't find it. This is the news everybody's talking about. Did the workers steal the money or not? Did the boss steal it or not? Maybe the Arab is just blaming them, and he took the money, and he's just trying to blame them for some reason. Nobody could figure it out. And of course, Signor Di Fejuto knows exactly what happened. That Hashem had made sure that he gets his money back. Because the Arab had signed the note that Hashem will make sure, right? Anyway, this is what happened. Okay, the 6 months go by, and it comes the day that the Arab has to pay back the money. And remember, the Arab knew nothing of what happened. He thought that the money was stolen, that's it. Now, the Arab, again, I told you, he still owed the Yid the money. because he borrowed it. He doesn't know what happened to the money. But he had no intention, he had no kavana to pay it back. But he thought, listen, let me look like an honest man, and I'll go to Signor Di Vecciuto's house on this day that I wrote that I would pay him back. And let me just tell him that, yes, I owe you the money, but I don't have it now, I'll pay you later. That's the beginning of his tricks. Yes, I owe you the money, but I don't have it now, I'll pay you in another 3 months or something. And he goes now to Signor Di Vecciuto's house. He knocks on the door, they let him in, and he says, oh, Signor Di Vecciuto, good to see you. I didn't see you for the 6 months. I know that today my loan is due. I must give you back the money I borrowed, the 200 golden dollars. I'm so sorry. I don't have it right now. I'm still a little bit, you know, behind in my money things, so I need a little extra time, maybe another few months to pay you the money, but I want to come today to show you that I remember the money. So if you excuse me, I need more time. And Signor Di Vecciuto just looks at him, and the Arab says, you know, it's a funny thing. I don't know if you heard this story, what happened in the field, but that particular day, the money disappeared, and I never used it even. I borrowed so much money from you, I never used it. I think it was stolen, either the boss or the workers. Because that day I went to the field where that I owned from the cabbages, and the money disappeared. I borrowed so much money, and it disappears. I never even used it. Isn't that a strange thing? And Signor Di Vecciuto looks straight at the Arab. He says, do you remember who you wrote down to make sure that I get my money back? Oh yes, I write down Hashem. You call the God Hashem. I write down Hashem. And Signor Di Vecciuto says to the Arab, it looks like you're laughing a little bit. You think this is a joke? Tell me seriously, did you have in mind that you will pay me back the money? Well, you think it's a joke that you said Hashem will pay back? If you can't, it looks like you think the whole thing is some kind of a joke. Did you have in mind to pay back the money? Well, Signor Di Vecciuto says to the Arab, let me show you something interesting, and I'll show you what I have in my drawer. He opens the drawer. He takes out the red bag, the red kerchief, the Arab's kerchief, with the 200 golden dollars. Do you remember this? And the Arab, his eyes are popping out of his head. His face turns red. Hey, this is my kerchief. Inside, it's the money. How could it be? He says, he told him the story about the cabbage, how he got the money back the next day. He says to the Arab, you see? You see what Hashem is? Now tell me the truth. Did you have in mind to pay back the money or not? The Arab says, well, no, not really. And Signor Di Vecciuto says, look, Hashem sees inside of a person, even in his heart, even in the very secret places of his heart and in his head, and he knows your thoughts and he knows how you feel. And you wrote down Hashem to make sure that if you don't give back the money, Hashem will give back the money. And Hashem knew that you had no thought and no feeling to pay back the money, and he made sure that I got my money back. And I got it back the very next day. Because your money was not stolen by the workers or by the boss. It went inside of a cabbage, and I got the cabbage. And of course, the Arab saw. Hashkacha pratis from Hashem. And he learned his lesson, hopefully. And he had great respect for Signor Di Vecciuto and for Hashem. And he had great respect for Hashem and for Yidden. And the toilet.
He became a Jew?
This is the secret of my machrenim. A very interesting thing. And at the same time, it's a secret. It's a very important thing that a person should know all the time. The secrets of the Torah are also things that are very practical. In other words, you can use them all the time. This is one of them. At the end of a meal, we wash a little bit of water on our fingertips and over our lips. And it says in Shulchan Aruch, a person should not get blind from the salt of stoim, melach stoimis. Because if you would put a little bit of this salt, they used to use this salt in the meal to salt things. If you would get any of this salt in your eye, chas v'shalom, you can get blind because it's so strong. In order that a person should not get blind from the melach stoimis, the salt of stoim, they wash the mayim achronim, and that way it cannot get in their eye. They will not get blind. Now, everything in the Torah can unlock us forever. The question is, we don't use this salt anymore. We don't have this salt. The regular kind of salt in our salt shaker, or even the other kind of salt from the box, it's not melach stoim. It's not from stoim. So what do we have to wash my machronim for? I'm going to tell you this right now. When Lot brought two guests to his house, and he asked his wife to put out food for the guests, remember what happened? She did not even want to put out salt, because she said, I don't want to share anything. The people of Stoim, this is the way they behaved. Everything was only for themselves. They didn't care about anybody else. A person was hungry, they didn't care. A person was cold, they didn't care. A person needed something, they didn't care. All they cared about were themselves. Later on, when she looked back at Stoim, when it was being destroyed, what was her punishment? She turned into a pillar of salt. Midah keneged midah. Because her aveira was with salt, she was so cheap and stingy and selfish, she couldn't even share some salt, she turned into salt. Now, the salt of stoim is connected with the idea of a person being selfish and only thinking about themselves and not caring about anybody else. This is melach stoimis. This is the lesson of melach stoimis, the salt of stoim. Now, when is a person most likely to only think about themselves and forget about anyone else? It's after they ate a meal. They already now feel good. I ate a nice meal. I'm not hungry anymore. I feel very good. And they took care of themselves. At that time, they could forget about people that are still hungry. People that didn't eat. If you yourself are hungry and you see somebody else is hungry, you could remember and think about, look, the same way that I'm hungry, this person is also hungry. The same way that I have to eat, I have to make sure that also they have some food. But when you already ate, you're not hungry anymore. And you feel very nice and very good. That's the time you can most forget about somebody else and think about yourself. And a yid says, I'm not going to let that happen. Even at a time that I have everything that I need, I'm still going to remember to help people that don't have things that they need and help them to get the kinds of things that I have for myself. So at the end of a meal, when it's most likely to have the selfishness of the melach stoimis, what do? We wash it away. And we make sure that no little bit of melach stoimis, no bit of this kind of salt will get in our eyes. In other words, we won't get blind. I don't mean blind that you can't see anything, but blind that a person's eyes of his own mind, and you have two kinds of eyes. You have eyes in your head, and you have the eyes of your mind, that you can think and you can understand and see what's around you. You wash away any selfishness, and you still see what other people need. You don't become blind, chas v'shalom. So that is my machrayim, ken alach. It's a thing that we do not only for our body, for our neshamas. We wash away the salt of stoim of the neshama, the selfishness, and we always remember about other people. This is Avos Yisrael. Not just thinking about yourself, thinking about somebody else. Even when you